Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and today I wanted to share with you the panel that I was on at the Bitcoin conference. The title of the panel was Conquering the Bitcoin Sales Frontier. Eric LaPaglia was the moderator, and Trey Sellers from Unchained, who has shared on the show a couple times before, was on the panel, along with Chad Blackburn from Cherry Beckert. Next week, we're going to get back to our regularly scheduled interview format, but we're going to get to today's panel right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with a Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? That good? Wow, that's some epic enthusiasm, and the crowd went wild. Well, I'm excited for this conversation. I think this is one of the underrepresented topics in the ecosystem is sales, because nothing in this world happens without sales. So if you look at where we're at in kind of the life cycle of money, money's been around for about 5,000 years. Bitcoin's been just short of 15 years. And so from a scale and an adoption standpoint, we are just starting to see where we're going to be able to go with this thing. And one of the stats I love, and I actually shared it with them in the green room right now, if Bitcoin was a standalone corporation, it would be the 6th largest corporation in the world, just behind Saudi Aramco and just ahead of Meta. So that gives you an idea of like the global opportunity. I believe that we've just scratched the surface of where this thing can go. So I want to touch on the sales cycle into the Bitcoin ecosystem, but let's start with where we are and these three fine gentlemen who are with us. I'd like to talk a little bit about their background and what's led them here. We've got Trey, who's got a storied history, both in traditional finance and now in the blockchain and Bitcoin ecosystem. We have Josh, who has a podcast where he gets to speak to quite literally hundreds of different entrepreneurs who are all touching on different aspects of blockchain and Bitcoin. And then we've got Chad, who works in the more traditional realm of accounting and corporate governance. But it's really fascinating to see how all of these three different aspects touch on the same thing, which is ultimately sales. So, Trey, let's talk a little bit about your journey. I mean, how do you go from Deloitte and Goldman to now deeply involved in this ecosystem?
Well, yes, I do have a pretty broad and extensive background in traditional financial services and banking. But ultimately, I'm kind of a Bitcoiner at heart, always was. And when I found Bitcoin back in like the 2014, 2015 days, I started getting drawn in very slowly, as most people do. And it was around 2018, 2019, when I was kind of fully down the rabbit hole, orange-pilled, and starting to become the Bitcoin guy at the bank that I was working at. I was sitting on a trading floor, doing risk and P&L work, working with trade flows and all of that, and recognizing what was going to happen over the next year or so, going into 2020 with the halving and the run-up that we ultimately ended up seeing, and thought, I should be the guy who is selling Bitcoin to the bank. I should be the guy, because I understand the asset and the people around me don't, who better than me to be in that position? And so I started kind of shopping around a deck I called Bitcoin for Bankers. And it was geared toward speaking in the traditional finance language, helping them understand what the market structure looked like and why they should care. And ultimately, why they should care is because their clients would care and they would be asking those questions. And so if you're not prepared to give intelligent answers to those questions, you are doing your clients a disservice and you're doing the bank a disservice as well. So one thing led to another, and that was very popular discussion in the 2020, 2021 timeframe because of the bull market. And then ultimately, I found myself moving into the Bitcoin world and working directly there in the sales team at Unchained. It's really difficult to sell Bitcoin to a lot of people, especially in the traditional financial world, because they don't really understand it yet. It feels foreign to pretty much everybody who is first introduced to it. And so making sure that you're able to simplify the concepts and speak in other people's language becomes very important when you are trying to help people understand what Bitcoin is, why it's valuable, why they should care. And then ultimately, when you're working in a business within the Bitcoin ecosystem, why they should be paying attention to what you do.
I love that. And I think that you're right. Often there's what I call contempt prior to investigation, where people, it's the knee-jerk reaction to say no. But once you get them to listen to what the opportunity is and where the different touch points within their existing infrastructure that Bitcoin can be beneficial, I think they really see the opportunity. Josh, you come from a completely different lens. You literally, like I said, I mean, at this point, you've got hundreds of episodes of your podcast, which you've done, which has given you exposure to probably the very earliest stages of people involved in the Bitcoin world, all the way to some of the most mature players in the space. What would you say is a commonality, and what would you say is really something that's continued to push your interest in the space and want you to, you know, do a deeper dive? And now today, not only are you continuing to do the podcast, but you've also gotten involved in another very fascinating platform that is built on the backbone of Bitcoin. So talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I keep on being interested in interviewing business owners or people who provide services to business owners like Unchained. I've interviewed Trey a couple times. The reason I do it is because I'm really interested in Bitcoin, and I think Bitcoin's going to change a lot of things in the world positively. I think that's why a lot of people are probably here for this weekend. But one of the things beyond just, you know, Trey has spoken a little bit about Unchained. There's probably like a bit of education that needs to happen before people are ready to sign on the dotted line. Another interesting thing, though, is when I'm thinking back to like an early podcast episode with a guy named Aaron Twa of Victoria Kayak. He has his kayak rental place, small business owner, not like a massive operation. But, you know, back in the day, this was back in, I guess, mid-2022, he was trying to sell his services for Bitcoin, and he was pricing it as if Bitcoin were $100,000 Canadian. It's like a 75% to 80% discount if you pay in Bitcoin. And at that time, he had no one pay in Bitcoin. It's just because, you know, people don't have Bitcoin or don't know. There's this education process that has to take place. And I probably need to do a follow-up episode with him a couple of years later to see how things have been. But that education piece is really important. Same thing with Slice. Like for Slice, we're an ad tech platform. It's easy for the user. You just download this free extension. And every time that you see an ad, we share our revenue with the user. So you're getting these, they're called slices, and you can get payouts in either dollars or Bitcoin. And it's like 75 to 80% of people prefer sats to dollars, which is super encouraging. That's one of the things that got me so excited about the company. It's not hard to educate the user, because they go to like, you know, payout, and it's like, hey, do I want to pay for lose 4% to get dollars, or using, you know, the Zebedee connection, I can just get sats, you know, with, and not lose any of these slices. So I think that that's an easy, obvious choice for a lot of people, which is why 75 to 80% of people choose sats. However, when I'm talking to people as the director of sales, talking to ad networks, they're not really familiar with the type of business that we have. They're used to just, you know, giving a website some code. They put the code on the website and people see ads on the website. We're not like that, because we kind of go wherever the user is around the internet. So that's sort of enabled by Bitcoin. So we have this new model of business, this new ad technology approach that most people aren't used to. And so there's like this education process for more traditional businesses about how a new model, a new way of doing things using Bitcoin is possible. So that's more the education side that has to take place from my sales job. But I think the same thing is back over to like the small businesses or even much larger enterprises. You have to take the time to educate people so they feel confident about what they're doing, because a lot of people just get weirded out by Bitcoin when they first hear about it. And so I think it's just a long process of explaining and being patient with people, being cheerful, and kind of coming back time after time until they finally see what we're seeing.
I think you're right. The educational component is massive. And anything you transfer with enough passion and enthusiasm, it's natural to get people excited about it. And so having stewards like ourselves and the thousands of you that are here going out into the world and having the conversations and getting the dumbfounded looks from people, I think it's important. Sometimes it feels like it's you're banging your head against the wall a little bit, but the more we do it, the message definitely starts to bleed through. So Chad, you come from a completely different spectrum of the world, because where we're very front-facing and cheerleaders for Bitcoin, you're certainly a champion in the space, but you're looking at it from a different, you know, just a different lens from the perspective of compliance, from regulatory clarity, obviously from taxation. So what does that look like to you as you're having conversations with your existing customers, but more importantly, with new customers who might not be conversant with Bitcoin?
Eric, that is, I like the way you put that, because when you start to look at something like what I do, I don't have the pleasure of having one or two products where you can study a product, you can craft narratives and things like that. And I think it brings up an important skill that people really need to master. And as you're prospecting and probing for opportunities, you need to be able to look and listen for the doors that open. So when I encounter Bitcoin financial services company, I know that they're going to need tax help and they might need audit help. That's table stakes. But what about all the things that roll up to the CFO? What about SOC audits? What's their timeline for exit? How ambitious are they? Are they going to SPAC? Are they going to need Sarbanes-Oxley help? And so looking and listening for those doors to open is an important process, part of that process. Now, Eric, something about my background that you don't know is that I actually spent the first few years of my career racking and stacking servers. So as somebody with a very technical background, I have a passion for these growth stage technical Bitcoin companies, and especially for the task that the founders have. Early in the stage of every company, everybody is in sales. It falls on the founder. It falls on the early employees. It falls on the engineers. And by leaning into acquiring that business skill as an essential business skill, you make all of your other skills in your skill stack more valuable, and it's going to help your company get to that position where you can hire that $500,000 professional salesperson. And so helping companies that are ambitious and on that journey is something that I am exceptionally passionate about.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era.
I love that. And again, we already said the word before, but it's a game of passion. It really, it can't be more said more succinctly that it really is about that passion for the space, because to be in a industry that still, let's be real, has some level of regulatory uncertainty around it, you have to be a risk taker by nature. And so as we go forward in 2024, we've already seen quantum leaps forward. I mean, we now have the ETF, which seemed like fantasy land a couple of years ago. We now see major corporations from Microsoft to AT&T to Whole Foods accepting Bitcoin. So it's becoming more prevalent. But I'd love just, and this is for all of us, just to discuss, where do you see the blind spots still in the ecosystem? Where do you still see that massive sales opportunity where it's like, oh, that's the natural evolution of where Bitcoin should be, but we're not discussing it yet?
Well, Bitcoin is money, and it's going to touch all of the same things that money touches. And it's starting to get there, and we're starting to evolve in the payments narrative. And I think we're going to see a lot of promising opportunities along those threads over the next few years as that infrastructure continues to be built out. One of the biggest opportunities and challenges that we have at Unchained is helping people who are wanting to deal at the base layer of Bitcoin, which is where private keys are managed, mm-hmm. and help people take full ownership over the Bitcoin that they have, as opposed to passing that trust off to some other institution that may provide kind of a black box to the Bitcoin ownership that they have. We help provide that education and the service around making sure that people feel comfortable holding their own Bitcoin and then being able to kind of maximize the value that they have with other financial services that, again, touch all of the different things that money touches. So that could be loans that are backed by Bitcoin, that is trading and moving in and out of dollars versus Bitcoin as their needs as a business or as an individual kind of evolve. We offer an IRA product as well. So allowing people who are otherwise kind of trapped in traditional financial options for retirement accounts have an ability to get exposure to this long-term asset that is really marries very well with the long-term nature of an IRA. And so anywhere that money touches, there is opportunity in Bitcoin. And we just need to continue that education, as Josh is talking about. And then again, simplifying the concepts. When I'm talking to clients about private keys and managing all this, it's not easy. It takes a lot of time and effort to actually distill that conversation and that those concepts down to something that is simple enough for somebody who's new to Bitcoin to understand so that they do have the ability and the confidence to operate at that base layer.
Well, as one who's trusted major institutional players and is still unwinding some of those relationships, I know that all too well. And absolutely, conceptually, I mean, it really harkens back to the days of someone having a safety deposit box and they had the key to that. The concept is not incredibly different. It's just a digitized version of that going forward. Josh?
Yeah. So when I started the Business Bitcoinization show, a lot of it was focused on payments, you know, using the Lightning Network for smaller payments. Also, people just holding Bitcoin on their balance sheet for the long term. Those things are great. What's interesting about Slice is that the founding team didn't come to their solution as Bitcoiners. They found Bitcoin because it was the best solution for their problem. So if you're wanting basically anywhere, it's money. But I think especially there are new use cases for sending small amounts of money. We haven't been able to do that. So I think a lot of people, there's probably a lot of things that people can be thinking about, new ways of approaching business or attracting users, just by being able to pass small amounts of sats back and forth. money can move more quickly with Bitcoin. And I think that Slice is doing that by, you know, people get a few bucks a month just for browsing. They're seeing ads. That's something that we couldn't do before. You couldn't just, you know, give people a fraction of a penny in the past. And now you can do that. And I'm excited to see more businesses that incorporate that type of approach. They see maybe some margin there for a new business opportunity. So I think that that's an interesting thing that Bitcoin enables. And I think it takes a little while for people to fully flesh out all of the possibilities that using the Lightning Network can bring, all the incentives and things like that. So that's an additional thing beyond just, you know, approaching originally with like, it's great for fast and cheap payments at your local coffee shop. And it's great to hold it on your balance sheet. Also, you can send money anywhere around the world and with these tiny little fractions of a penny. And that's a really cool opportunity that people have yet to, like, I think, fully tap into.
So we're going to go full circle and people are going to order two medium pizzas with Bitcoin again, except it's not going to cost hundreds of millions.
You know, I don't know if there's probably some things that need to change before people are always using Bitcoin. Obviously, it'd be great if we don't have to pay capital gains taxes on Bitcoin, and that could change in the coming years. But I do like the fact that you can easily just move tiny amounts of money around. It incentivizes people in a way that we haven't seen before. So that's one thing I really like about Slice. And there's all sorts of other things that people are doing right now, and even more that people will be doing in the future, I think.
Yeah.
So, Eric, for companies that are looking to scale their sales effort in the Bitcoin world, I think what they're going to need to do first is really understand what vertical they're in. I describe Bitcoin as a peanut butter industry. It starts to get spread on a bunch of different industries as the Bitcoin network and different utilizations bring efficiency to traditional finance and other industries. So identifying what vertical you're in first, I think, is going to be an important step. Once you do that, I think you need to then start to think about what scales your effort as a professional salesperson. Now, for me at Cherry Bekaert, we do a lot of alternative asset fund audits. We talked about this backstage, where we are working with hedge funds and private equity funds and venture funds. Now, one great thing about that is that those are great clients. But each one of those clients have a portfolio of companies in other verticals. And that gives you an opportunity to find those one-to-many connections that actually give you the ability to do more work with less time. And as you identify those different areas to scale, you can start to build teams and process around that to service those areas. And you can even build little micro verticals inside of your own company to build those businesses and build up your expertise and your ability to add value.
By and large, everyone I deal with in the Bitcoin ecosystem always has where their vision is, but they have the either goal on a mountaintop or that pet project that is always lingering in the back. I would love to learn a little bit about other things that you're seeing in the Bitcoin ecosystem or other things that you're directly involved with that you want to call attention to. I personally, you touched on it. I think the aspect of leveraging Bitcoin as a collateralized product in the loan world is the tip of the iceberg. It's an unlock that I believe is going to be a paradigm shift. One of my portfolio companies I'm working with is actually utilizing real world assets, in this case, your primary residence, tethered with Bitcoin as collateral, and they're providing instant loans in Bitcoin. And so I think that that's like the natural evolution. It already gives you the ability to have a dexterity with that product that generally would take, you know, for a HELOC, let's call it 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks, and this can be done in minutes. So just, I'd love you all, and again, just jump in, call attention to something that you're really smitten with in the space that you're either working on directly or as one of your portfolio or client companies.
Yeah, I think you're right about Bitcoin as collateral. It is pristine collateral. I was referring to the traditional world and kind of the learning curve that they still need to go through to understand Bitcoin and its value. And they understand collateral very well. It underlies the entire traditional financial system. And when they start to understand that Bitcoin can act as collateral in a lot of ways better than the traditional assets that they've been using because of its verifiability, because of its kind of 24/7, 365 ability to be settled and moved across the world, all of the things that we know and love about Bitcoin. When people start to understand that, they are going to lean into it as a collateral asset, and it's going to unlock a lot of capital coming into the space for that particular purpose. Now, there are some lessons that they're going to also have to learn about Bitcoin as a unique asset relative to other financial products or financial assets out there. Mainly that there are no bailouts in Bitcoin, and you have to be very careful with how you are managing the private keys, who you are trusting with that, and you have to be very careful around the concept of rehypothecation. And we've seen a lot of examples in the last few years of people who learned that lesson the hard way. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the reasons that Unchained is still around and thriving in this market of collateralized lending around Bitcoin is because we approach it in a fundamentally different way that respects the asset as it is and as it's kind of meant to be. Wall Street will be coming, the banks will be coming on the collateralized lending side. And they're going to have to learn those same lessons. Hopefully not the hard way, but we'll see.
History says generally the hard way.
It does.
So I'm always interested in the education piece. And first of all, I'm excited to see more and more people becoming interested in Bitcoin, probably across the next 12 to 18 months. Just hopefully price will continue to increase, but it's certainly just in the public zeitgeist more and more Bitcoin is. And so I'm excited about that. I think having competitive rates for Bitcoin collateralized loans would be great. That might be further down the line, but there's also a nonprofit organization I've recently become involved with called Bitcoin is Better, which is focused on Bitcoin adoption for middle-class families. And I think Bitcoin is for everyone, but there's a lot of value that Bitcoin can provide to middle-class and working-class families. And so that's something that I've recently begun to be involved with. And anytime I can help people to understand Bitcoin in a way that's meaningful to them is valuable to me.
So everybody knows that I'm a fanboy of Unchained Capital, a client, and I refer friends and family to Unchained Capital, what they're doing with the lending product, and then especially what they're doing with bringing clarity on how, in the case that you were to pass away, how do you manage moving that Bitcoin to a family member, right? So bringing clarity to that at the individual level. Now, when we get to the corporate level, we start to look at Bitcoin companies that are holding Bitcoin on the balance sheet. And there's a handful of companies that we work with closely that have started to build really robust accounting systems that help you manage cost basis, tax liability, custody, all of these different elements that as a corporation, you have a fiduciary duty to report out and have visibility. Something else that really gets me excited are companies like Strike. And one thing that I think is important there is that in the case of Strike's Send Global product, they're able to move, let's say, U.S. dollars to somebody on the other end of the globe into euros or pesos or whatever, and they're using Bitcoin in the middle. And in that scenario, they're utilizing the network in a way that gives them very little exposure to price volatility. And I think we're going to start to see more of that as Bitcoin, the features, Taproot assets, Taproot on Lightning, whatever the next innovation is, start to bring undeniable efficiencies to traditional finance. People ask me if the credit card companies are going to get disrupted by Bitcoin. And, you know, my answer is that if the credit card companies are just going to sit down and let this happen to them, you're living in a fool's paradise. They are going to figure out exactly how to make money with the Bitcoin network. They are great with that. And one thing that they have that we don't have are decades of loyal customers and wraparound services that people need for online commerce and other things. So those are things that I'm looking at. I'm bullish on it. We've got a few of those in the portfolio of some of the companies and venture funds that I'm invested in. I'm really excited to see what happens as we start to, I guess, get a little bit more signal from DC whether or not they are going to make it difficult for Bitcoin or not. I don't necessarily want DC to be passing laws about Bitcoin. I want DC to be passing laws and really reiterating things like property rights, privacy, these constitutional rights that we have that Bitcoin operates within.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your point, credit card companies are already making money off the Bitcoin ecosystem and they're continuing to lean into it. If you look at what Visa and MasterCard are doing, they have very large teams that are dedicated to the ecosystem and they're adding to those teams actively. So, it's definitely, it's a point of emphasis for them. And then, regulatory clarity. We've got just a minute left. I'm going to give you all just a few seconds. Sell the regulators. And for me, it's stop driving innovation offshores. Give us clarity because we need it.
Bitcoin is good for America. Adopt Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin is going to be fine without America. So adopt it.
Bitcoin is going to find a way around whatever regulation you try to put into place. So unless it is in harmony with liberty and Bitcoin, it'll be a fruitless effort.
And sadly, we desperately need revenue as a country, so they need the taxation base. So anyways, gentlemen, again, we said backstage this 30 minutes would go in a blink of an eye. Lo and behold, it has. So thank you all for being here. There's a great lineup for the rest of the day, but we can't thank you enough for letting us have this conversation with you.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either Chad or Trey, I'm going to include their LinkedIn profiles below, and you can reach out to me if you like as well. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.